Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, a great opportunity right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Several of you left calls over the night, and we'll get to those, but we do have open lines if you would like to speak directly with us. Again, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about suffering this month, and why do we see so much suffering out there in the world? And it's an age-old question, especially as it relates to God. If God is a loving God, why does he allow this kind of suffering? Yeah. Why does he allow what we see? Why does he allow the shootings, for example, in El Paso and all the other places that we've heard about? Why do we see religious persecution happening around the globe? Right. Why do we see all those things? And on yesterday's broadcast, we talked about the nature of this world and that it's in the hands of the evil one.
Yes.
There is an evil one. He is real.
Yeah.
He made himself known in the Garden of Eden. He lured Eve over to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He spun the word of God. He twisted it. He perverted it. And he used that method to make that tree look desirable to Eve. And as she sat there and listened, that tree began to look good to eat. And so she partook. And then Adam, just in sheer rebellion, partook as well.
Yeah.
So that evil one captured humanity right there. We came under the power of sin and death through his deception. And in essence, he made us fall in love, or made Adam and Eve fall in love with death.
Yeah.
They had this this tremendous life, this tremendous existence, this tremendous identity in their relationship with God. They had a purpose. They had a destiny. Everything was given to them. It was a work of grace on God's part to bring them into existence and provide for them in the way that he did. And yet, the serpent came in, that evil one, and lured them away and said, "This is better." And they bought into it.
Yeah.
And so ever since, mankind has been under that law of sin and death. That's our condemnation until we come to Christ. Well, when we come to Christ, something happens to us. And Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Ephesians. He says this, "For at one time you were darkness." So that's what happened to mankind. So they were light in the Lord. They had the light of God in their very lives.
Mm-hmm.
And when they listened to Satan and they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they became darkness.
Yes.
And so all of us come into this world in the same way, darkness, in darkness.
Right.
So that's what we once were. But Paul says this, "Because of the work of Christ, now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light." So here's the deal. If we're going to walk as children of light, we're going to do so surrounded by darkness.
Yes,
this world is still in the power of the evil one, as John told us in his first letter. We're from God, and we know that, but this world is in the power of the evil one. So if we're going to walk as children of light, we're going to do so in a world of darkness. Now, I love what Paul said to the Philippians, that you will shine like stars in the darkness as you hold out the word of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's our great privilege.
Yeah.
That's our great opportunity as children of God, to be able to hold out that word of life to those who are dead in sin.
Yeah.
So we were once darkness, now we're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And we're going to suffer in doing that. Why? Because we're surrounded by darkness, and darkness doesn't like light.
Boy, and you're seeing it today.
We are seeing it more and more and more. It's always been.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new under the sun. It is just becoming more and more apparent. That line between darkness and light is becoming just more pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
We see it more clearly. and we know the sides. So we're being attacked more and more simply for being children of light.
Right.
And if folks really knew what we were offering, they would never attack. They would simply retreat and receive. Why? Because in receiving, they're going to receive the same life we've received in Jesus Christ. So we're going to experience some suffering. Why? Because we live in a world of darkness that's controlled by the evil one. And we were once a part of that, but we've been rescued by the saving work of Jesus Christ, by his death, his burial, his resurrection. And it was so powerful, it brought us out of darkness, and it made us, now this is the big deal, it made us light in the Lord.
Yes.
That's who we are. That's our identity. And we have the wonderful privilege of living as children of light here and now, making a difference, an impact in this world in which we live.
And that's the best place to be, the only place to be.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes,
well,
indeed.
Well, friends, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us today. And I want to remind you that tomorrow something very, very special starts. It's 7 o'clock in, right here in our hometown of Lewisville, Texas. And that, of course, is the Simply Grace Conference. Now, we're going to talk about that just a little bit later. But right now, I want to remind you that this month's donor gift is a DVD by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper called Your Living Hope, which poses and answers the question, how do you stay strong and true to who you are in Jesus Christ? And that's what Bob was talking about a few moments ago. It's our September gift to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month. So click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, as I said, we had several calls that came in overnight, but first, let's go out and talk to Antoine. What do you think?
Let's do. Antoine, welcome. You're on Basic Gospel.
In Los Angeles. Hello, Antoine. Are you there?
Well, let's put Antoine on hold, okay. And let's go to one of these calls from overnight.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, hi, Basic Gospel. I'd like to know, if Jewish people don't believe in the Lord and they denounce him, isn't that called blasphemy? And I thought that that was the one sin that you can't go to heaven with.
Well, that's a great question, and blasphemy is basically saying something about the Holy Spirit, and it's rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, God sent the Holy Spirit into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So we read that in John's Gospel, chapter 16, I think verses 7 through 9. So concerning sin, we were wrong about sin, and so the Holy Spirit is going to convict us and show us that we were wrong, and to correct us, and to show us what sin really is. And he says sin is unbelief in Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit is showing us what sin is, and that sin is unbelief in Jesus, and we reject the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and fail to receive Jesus, then we're blaspheming the name of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that is the unpardonable sin. Why? Because we are rejecting, in essence, the work of Jesus, yeah, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that is true. Anybody who rejects the work of Jesus Christ for salvation is in danger of committing the unpardonable sin. If you die having rejected the offer of life that's made to you in Christ, then you're gonna remain dead eternally.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. So right now, there's a hardness within Israel, and that opened up the floodgates for this gospel message to go out to the Gentile world. And at some point in the future, God's going to come back to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
We see that spelled out for us in Romans 9, 10, and 11. But for now, there's this hardness. There's this rejection of Jesus. There's this denial that Jesus is their Messiah. There's this denial that his death meant anything as far as salvation is concerned. They just look at him as a failed prophet, and they're waiting for the Messiah to come. So they're living in rejection. Paul said he was a blasphemer. As he's sharing his testimony in his letter to Timothy, he says, I was once a blasphemer. That's what I was doing. I was blaspheming the name of God by rejecting the very plan of God for my salvation. But he was turned into a proclaimer. So he went from a blasphemer to a proclaimer. And that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So anyone who rejects the gospel is rejecting the work of the Spirit in bringing that gospel to them. And if they die rejecting, they're just going to remain dead eternally.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we hope that this answer has found a place in your heart. We didn't get the name of the caller, but, hey, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yes, yes.
You want to try Antoine again?
Let's do. Let's see if he's there. Antoine, are you there?
I am here. I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can hear you. Welcome.
Oh, okay, great. Hey, I wanted to say happy birthday to Bob Davis.
That's right. It is Bob Davis's birthday today.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
He's 39 all over again.
Got the smoothest voice in Christian radio.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate that, Antoine. Thank you.
All right. And I got the conference that's coming up. You guys think you're going to do a CD series or something for the guys that can't make it to Texas?
We are going to do a CD series, and we'll certainly let you know about that when we get it all together.
Yes. Okay. Sounds good. That's what I wanted to know. But I had a call earlier a couple weeks ago about my pastor. We was going back and forth. He's talking about the law and the ceremonial law and the eternal law, and I was thinking that I think he's trying to say the same thing. I think what he's trying to say is that when we get the Spirit, like you know, as the scriptures that say something like the grace of God teaches us to say no to unrighteousness.
Yes.
It's like the Spirit inside of us is teaching us, like, we don't need the law for salvation, but we still have laws that he's put in our hearts, like, lead us in the right direction. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Antoine, that's a great question. And, in this new covenant, we see the very first promise of the new covenant is that God writes his laws upon our hearts and puts them in our minds. And we ask the question, well, what laws is he referring to? And there are many people who would say that's the Ten Commandments. Well, we didn't need the Ten Commandments placed on our heart. We already knew basically right from wrong. Our conscience bore that out. And so those laws were written on tablets of stone. What God writes in our hearts is faith, hope, and love. And so we were unbelievers, and that's our heart was fully enmeshed in this world, and that's where it was trying to find meaning and purpose to life. That's where it was trying to find identity. That's where it was trying to find purpose and significance and destiny and all of those things. We were unbelievers. And then this gospel message came and hit our hearts, and something changed. And what changed is we became believers. So God, through his work of grace, changed us on the inside, and he etched into our hearts, into our minds, this law of faith. So now we're believers in Christ. We want to trust the Lord in all situations. That's what's there for us, naturally there for us. And then we have hope that anchors us, is the anchor for our souls. And then we have the law of love, as Paul said in Romans 5:5, this love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have this love in our hearts, and we express that love to others by faith. So that's how the Spirit leads us. He leads us through faith, hope, and love. That's what marks us out as believers today. And that's only a reality because the Spirit is alive, living inside of us.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys, man. Enjoy the conference, and I look forward to getting a copy of it when I can.
Well, you're welcome, Antoine. And
yeah, sorry thanks. You won't be there, man. We'd love to see you. But
I'm in California. I wish I could get there, but enjoy it.
Maybe we'll get out to the West Coast again someday.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks for your call, Antoine. Yeah. Hope that helped. And great question.
Thanks,
great
Antoine.
Great question today.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, let's go to a special caller from Dallas, Texas. Rhonda, you're on the line.
Well, hello. This is Rhonda Ann Morgan.
Oh, hello there.
Hello, Dad.
Oh,
we wanted to call in today and wish my dad and Morgan's granddad a very, very happy birthday.
Mm. I'm just getting warm fuzzies all over the place here.
You better.
Well, thank you, sweetheart.
We wanted to say that we love you very, very much and thank you for your heart for Christ.
Mm. Wow.
Because
thank
without you being my dad, I don't know where we would be.
You know, I've often had the thought, Rhonda and Bob and Morgan, that, you know, if I left a legacy in this life, it would be that those who became my family would come to Jesus Christ and would experience the life that I've experienced. And so, you know, what a heartwarming thing this is. And so I appreciate hearing
from
you. Thank you, Rhonda.
Well, Rhonda's
well done, Daddy.
Well,
Rhonda, it's great.
You.
Great to hear from you, and thank you so much for jumping on with us today and making this day even more special for Bob.
Yeah.
And I told him in a text message this morning, I know of no other person that is more sincere and more warm in spirit than Bob Davis.
You're going to make me cry.
He is the genuine article, and when you know he loves you, you know he loves you. And, boy, he is so interested in people knowing Jesus. And, you know, he's been so interested, Rhonda, in your spiritual growth and development and your kids. And it's just been wonderful to see God work through him to give the good news to you guys.
He sure did, and he still does.
Yes, indeed.
And
yes, indeed.
We're very grateful to God and to my dad for that. So,
well, thank you, honey. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. We love you.
Love you, too.
Well, thanks for calling,
well,
Rhonda.
God bless all of you.
You, too.
Your voice, Bob, Christopher, that is you.
All right. God bless, Rhonda. Thanks for calling.
Well, I'll follow it up with this question and talk about a change of pace. Victor, a YouTube viewer, would like to know, what does God think about weapons like guns for self-defense? See, I told you it was a jump.
Well, that is a jump. We go from birthday greetings and a special call from your daughter and that. What does God think about
guns
having weapons and guns for self-defense? Certainly, you know, we see, you know, Jesus saying, hey, go buy swords and that sort of thing for protection and for the disciples. And you know, what does God think about that? I'm sure what he thinks is it's like, I wish this wasn't the case.
Yeah.
But we live in a fallen world. There's going to be a world where guns aren't necessary, mm-hmm. where we're all going to walk in love, where all of those weapons can be laid down.
Yes.
The lamb can lie with the lion. And that's what's up ahead. That's the hope that we have in Christ. But we live in a fallen world. Now, our Constitution, for example, was and is this incredible document that lays out what our government is, what it means to be a republic.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a democracy.
Right.
We're a republic. That's one of the things that is being kind of forgotten, and how this Constitution spells out what a republic is, and it recognizes several things. It recognizes the sinfulness of man. It recognizes the possibility of government becoming corrupt, and so it put safeguards in the Constitution for those various things, weapons mm-hmm. being one of those things, the right to bear arms,
yes.
being one of those things to protect us from a corrupt government, a tyrannical government, and something that we could use to protect ourselves. Now, when we use them for other purposes, and I'm not talking about hunting or sportsmanship or that sort of thing, but if we use them for other purposes, then it's a person that's lost his way, that's lost a sense of virtue in this world. And our republic is dependent upon the virtue of its citizens to be what it's supposed to be.
I believe James Madison made that point very clearly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And once we lose virtue, then the Constitution just becomes a document.
Yeah.
And so it's tied to the virtue of its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So we live in a sinful world. We need to protect ourselves. And so I think that's a godly thought and a godly attitude.
Yeah.
That we can have to use weapons as a sense of protection.
Yes,
for
indeed.
Us.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And tomorrow, Bob, 7 o'clock, the fun begins. And because this is probably the last time we'll get to talk about it in depth, I want you to talk to our listeners once again. Those who have not signed up, maybe we can persuade them to do that.
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, there's nothing more fun in this life, and I've tried a bunch of stuff. When I was in college, I tried a bunch of stuff.
Haven't we all?
I tried a bunch of what the world said is fun, and I found all of that to be empty.
Yeah.
But I have never had as much fun in life than I've had in talking about the Lord and in sharing his life with other believers. There's nothing more fulfilling, there's nothing more rewarding than knowing Jesus and sharing his life with those who know him as well. And
right.
That's what this conference is going to be about. We're going to have a ton of fun,
yes,
as we open up the Word of God and we take a deep dive into what the Word of God has to say about the very grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, apart from the grace of God, we wouldn't even be here. There wouldn't even be a world. There wouldn't even be people.
Yeah.
God's act of creation was an act of grace. And his act of recreation, of making us new in Christ, is an act of grace. And so we have life because God is a God of grace. And we're going to talk about that. And
yeah,
we're going to look at why that not only answers the question about salvation, but answers the question of how we live every day, these Christian lives,
mm-hmm,
how we live in the newness of life. We
yeah,
were saved by grace through faith in Jesus. How do we live? By grace through faith in Jesus. That's the simplicity of this. That's the power of this good news. And that's the wonder of it all,
mm-hmm,
that we can experience such a profound life by the saving life,
yeah,
of Jesus Christ. So we want you to come. We want you to be a part of it tomorrow night. If you don't register online, show up at the door.
Yes, indeed.
Come join us. We want to see you there.
Well, get all the information in advance at basicgospel.net/events. You'll find the location, and you can register there at basicgospel.net/events. And however you get there, we want to see you there at the conference tomorrow night. Starts at 7 o'clock, and we'll get together a little bit in advance for some get-together time, and we would love to have you there. Go to basicgospel.net/events and get all that information. Friends, I want to remind you also that your donations to Basic Gospel help keep this good news coming on your station and online. Please click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and to receive your copy of our DVDs. It's called Your Living Hope. Again, please donate at basicgospel.net. Now, this DVD, Your Living Hope, is produced by Bob Christopher and the now retired Richard Piper, whom I'm hoping to see at the conference tomorrow night. I think he's going to be there. So he and Lois, we will look forward to seeing them after their long retirement journey up to Alaska and back by car or SUV or however it was. Anyway, however they got back, but it'll be great to see them as well. But friends, go ahead and go right now, if you can, to basicgospel.net/events. Get information on the conference, and we would love to see you either registered in advance or at the door tomorrow night here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Also want to remind you that we do indeed stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. Every day that the broadcast comes on the air, we do it, and we would love for you to be a part of that growing number who take advantage of that. Well, until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with the your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.